two processions on the opposite sides of Jerusalem. One procession is peasant, the other is imperial. One is a procession of the poor and dispossessed, the other is of the rich and powerful. One proclaims the kingdom of God, the other the power of empire. Jesus, the Son of God, leads the one, and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, leads the other. Pilate and the Roman occupation chose the cooler coastal city of Caesarea Maritima for their headquarters over the provincial environment of Jerusalem, hotter in climate and temperament. As a province, Palestine seethed with discontent and rebellion and was even more restive, in fact, white hot during Passover, especially its capital, Jerusalem. So Pilate would scrape up any troops he could spare and head to Jerusalem to reinforce its garrison in Fortress Antonia. Even with every available soldier, they were outnumbered. So their entrance had to be impressive. You can imagine cavalry on war horses, infantry, weapons and full armor, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold, and the sounds of marching feet, creaking leather, jingling equipment, beating drums, all amid swirling dust. It was meant to intimidate, to instill fear by troops who were themselves afraid. On the other side of the city, Jesus' procession is almost a parody of Pilate's. Jesus arrives on a donkey instead of a cavalry horse. In place of banners and golden eagles, there are palm branches and coats spread on the ground. Instead of pounding drums, there are people shouting, "Hosanna in the highest heaven." Parody it may be, but it is the parody of a rival view of reality, and a rival way of life. The contrast and conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Caesar are central to the Gospel of Mark and the Christian life. Caesar's kingdom is the world, as we heard in last Sunday's Gospel. It's the system. In the ancient agrarian world of Jesus' time, it was the domination system. It was where overwhelming debt leveraged peasants off their land, and over half of production went into the coffers of a small, wealthy elite. This vast inequality, of course, was enforced by the occupying Roman legions and legitimated by religion. It's all the will of God. The humble Savior entering on a donkey represented a different view of God's will, the way of justice and peace. Jesus brings the restoration of Israel, the hope of all humanity, as envisioned and demanded by the prophets, like Zechariah, who said, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. He will enact justice and command peace, as only justice can come from peace. Not peace of mind, but the peace of reconciliation." Jesus brings the kingdom of God, the way of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the humble, the merciful, the peacemakers. Well, the world, or the powers that be, as scholar Walter Wink calls the system, are still with us in force. As we heard last Sunday in John, if you love your life in the system, you will lose it. If you hate that life, you will save it for eternity. It all depends on which procession you join. You can walk in the procession of peace and justice, or the procession of power and privilege. The issues are still power versus people, but are particular to one's own time and place. Today we face many, and you all know what they are. Here are four of them. Income inequality, much like Jesus's time. In 2016, 50% of all income in the United States went to 20% of the population, and the top 8% pulled in 28.5%. Now, on the other side of town, in the other procession, is the Word of God, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the stranger, providing them with food and clothing. This from Leviticus. And there's Me Too. Psychologist Dacre Keltner, who works at University of California, Berkeley, psychologist Dacre Keltner has found that without moral grounding, the rich and powerful tend to indulge impulses and justify selfishness even to the point of disregarding other people's humanity. We see this every day, but he studied these things and came up with this conclusion based on more research than the news. Now, on the other side of town is this: love your neighbor as yourself, and love one another as I have loved you. Keltner also reports, on the other hand, that good people with power tend to be kinder. So it all depends on where you're coming from. And there's immigration. Fear and tribalism, walls, or on the other side, the law. You shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, we read in Leviticus. And one more, violence. Yesterday, there was much to do with that here. Hopefully, it'll continue. So, is it guns before kids? Or on the other side, kids before guns? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are teenagers. So, we have two processions yet today. Do we follow Jesus on his way to the cross? Yes, he's still here, inviting us to walk with him. Or do we follow Caesar? There are always Caesars on the way to a 5-star fortress. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, he called to the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Choose. But choose wisely, not comfortably. Amen.